Erev Tov to everyone here, L'chol HaMazinim. This is our series in Emuna, part 4, entitled tonight, God and Man, and we're sponsored again by Becky and Avi Katz, L'ili Nishmas Yonah ben Aryeh Leib. I want to wish refuah shleima also to Mimi Fine, who's been a regular participant for many years, and now she's convalescing. She broke part of her leg, and she's laid up, so we wish her a full shleima. Just the other day, in Rav Aviner's Questions of the Week, someone asked this question, which I realized right away is a good introduction to tonight. Mi ze Elokim b'mishpat echad? Who is God, in one sentence? So Harav answered, Mi sheyesh Elokim shel mishpat echad, mistaber she'en lo Elokim. Whoever has a God that could be summarized in one sentence means he has no God. As much as we yearn to know God, the man has had such yearnings since our creation. The fact is, God ultimately remains inscrutable to us. We cannot know him, we can only know about him. And one of the most fascinating aspects of Torah is that it tells us very little about God. It says, Bereishis bara Elokim, but that's what God did. That's not what God is. We know what God does, which is not the same thing as saying we know what God is. Occasionally you find in the Torah, like in Baloscha, where Moshe speaks about, where God speaks about his relation with Moshe, in the parsha of the Chet of Miriam, Esh Ochlo, but rarely do you find the Torah spending a lot of time speaking about the nature of God. In Yotzer Or, Rav Aviner Sefer that we use as a text, the question was raised, how do we deepen our recognition of the Creator? Not is there a God, but who is God? There are many, many different conceptions of God out there since ancient times, and the rise of idolatry and paganism back then introduced to the world false conceptions of God that still remain. And the one truism of history is that false conceptions of God lead to catastrophe for man, always. Evil, violence, decadence, purposelessness. So Rav quotes Don Yitzhak Abravanel that by and large, the Ma'amin and the heretic agree. They really do agree. But the difference between them is semantic. What the heretic believes is God is rejected by the Ma'amin, because that is not a true understanding of God. And what the Ma'amin knows of the Creator is unknown to the heretic. If the heretic knew the God of whom we are talking, he too would accept God's existence. That's what the Abravanel said. Now, that might sound a tad far-reaching, but I think that's the point. And I contemplate this point. You know, there are a number of prominent Jewish conservatives, small c, who were raised Reform Jews and during their lifetime converted to Catholicism. I can name three off the top of my head. And they're all thinking people, and they could not accept what they were being taught. And therein lies the shame. It's hard to accept what they were being taught as they were growing up. God's existence is doubtful. The Torah is man-made. Mitzvos are optional, if not, they're not altogether obsolete, etc. So all these thinking people didn't reject Judaism as much as they were never really exposed to Judaism in the first place. And conversely, they're ma'aminim, they're people who ma'aminim, but who believe the God in whom they believe is also not the God of the Torah. Deep down, they cannot shake their image of God having physical dimensions or human emotions, or God as a Jewish Santa Claus who responds to their every wish if he knows what's good for him. As in, if the Torah does not conform to my wishes, then I am out. And people retain a childish notion of God that is very difficult to shake. I'll give you an example of a childish notion. So my grandson is 4 and his cousin is 5. And you know, my son Larry G is quite tall. 6'5" or so. Yesterday, the two boys were together talking about Hashem. and the five-year-old said to my grandson, Hashem is taller than Uncle Ari, maybe even taller than the trees. Well, that's how a child begins to approach God, as something bigger than the self, something that's outside the self, but nonetheless in a very physical way, a very human way. You hope over time they overcome that. So we're taught, says in Divrei Yomim, David said to Shlomo, Das Elokei Avicha Ve'avdehu, know the God of your fathers and serve him, Belev Shalem Uvenefesh Chafetza, with a full heart and a willing spirit. There are ideas that we have to know about God or our relationship is flawed. Now, we mentioned a few weeks ago, the Rambam numbers is the very first mitzvah, the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Yisod HaYisodos V'Amun HaChochmos Leida Sheyesha Motzei Rishon. The foundation of all foundations, the pillar of all wisdom, is to know that there is a first existence, meaning a primary, necessary existence. Or the Rambam's formulation there, Leida Sheyesha Meloka, to know that there's a God. So to know, in the Sefer Mitzvos, he begins the first mitzvah, Asher Tzivonu L'Ha'amin Ho'elohus, to verify, to confirm the divinity, V'hu Shenamin Sheyesham Ilo V'Siba Hu Po'el L'Chol HaNimtzos, that there's a cause, a prime mover, that puts all of existence into effect, V'hu Omaro Yisbarach Anochi Hashem Elokecho. And this is the pasuk that I am the Lord your God. To which the obvious question is, if the mitzvah is lehamin ho'elohus, how do we impose belief? How, in fact, do we impose knowledge on someone? Either we know or we don't know. How many people thus tell the world that they are maminim, but they're really not? So a few weeks back, I answered that the obligation is to study the area of God, so to speak, to the best of our capabilities, to go through the proofs, again and again, until they become ingrained in us. Rav Kook had a simpler approach, and he said the Torah, you see, didn't ask man just to accept God. The Torah turns in the first instance to the person who's already aware of God, and now wants to know more. That's Anoch Hashem Elokecho, Asher Hotzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mibeis Avodim. Who's God talking to? He's talking to the generation that was there. So it's not that he had to prove his existence to God, of God. They knew of his existence because of Asher Tzesicho Me'eres Mitzrayim. And by extension, as we mentioned last week, we know of his existence as well. We know this God already. So therefore they had to know about that God, how to relate to that God, and what that God wants from us. What then do we know of God from the Torah? Aside from creation, to which none of us were eyewitnesses. So you see, just to take a synopsis of the beginning of Shmos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, we see three very important things. That God is interested in human affairs, that God does not accept evil or injustice in his world and will intervene when he deems it appropriate, and that he loves the Jewish people. Those premises all emerge from Anoch Hashem Elokecho. So if that is how we know of God, then God's relationship with man is part of his very plan in creation. See, God had no intrinsic need to create the world. He is Adon Olam Hashem Olach. He's the master of the universe who reigned B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivro, before any being was created. God's malchus is complete, whether or not there is a universe. So some say created the world as an act of his will. Others say that it was an act of his goodness to bestow his kindness on his creation, and he revealed his will to man. And the fact that God relates to man is really part of the puzzle of our existence. And no one phrased it better than David HaMelech in Tehillim, Mo'enosh kisizkerenu, uven adam kisivkedenu. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you remember him, v'techasrehu me'at me'elokim, and you made him just a little lower than the angels, v'chavod v'hador ta'atrehu, to have a being that can be compared to the angels, that can strive to be angelic, and that same being can also be on the level of Behemoth, that really is a puzzle why God would relate to such a creature. But in fact, that is how we're created, and that is how we relate to us. Rav mentions here, it's a little later on in the Sefer, that you find the connection between God, the infinite creator of the universe, Ho Yehovah V'yeh, and lowly man, is something that perplexed David HaMelech, as you see from Tehillim, and it's something that perplexed all the philosophers. And the Kuzari writes about it in the name of the philosopher, who's really Aristotle, who could not imagine, could not believe that the Creator would relate to insignificant creatures who are finite, both in terms of their physical abilities, as well as their duration on earth. So he answered, the way we understand this is the phrase we say in davening during V'yitan Lecha, some of us anyway. Not many. B'chol makom shata motzei gedulaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shamata motzei anvesonuso. The Gemara Megillah Daf Chav Ches. Every time you find God's greatness mentioned, you find His humility mentioned as well. What's humility? Greatness means He's the Creator. He's infinite. He's aphysical. He's beyond our ken. Anvesonuso means that He chooses to relate to individuals. Daf Lamed Aleph. In Megillah, He chooses to relate to human beings as well, to relate to His creation, even in a sense to be mitzamtzem in order to relate to creation. That's the pasuk we say in Hallel, Mik Hashem Elokeinu Hamagbihi LaShaves, but also Hamashpili LeRos BaShemayim UvaAretz. What are we, that He goes down, so to speak, to see what's happening, to interact with man, and that, in fact, is what we said, what the pasuk said at the beginning of Decalogue, Vayered Elokim, that God went down, He descended to speak to us at Sinai. Vayered Lahatzilo Mimitzrayim, He descended to save His people. Meaning, He is transcendent. And yet, as an act of His will, as an act of His chesed, His kindness, He relates to us as well. But how do we relate to Him? It's a question we discussed a few months ago, still open. Do we relate to Hashem through our emotions or through our intellects? Many people, you'd be surprised, but many people have an emotional relationship with God. God is protector, God is father figure, God is provider. And that's improper for several reasons, notwithstanding that we make reference to it as well. First, it's difficult to transmit emotions from parent to child. If it's just a feeling, so feelings are very difficult to convey. It's like trying to transmit a favorite sports team. Well, your child may adopt it, or if he lives elsewhere, he may choose another team. And with emotions, you either feel it or you don't feel it. And second, emotions are very unreliable because of that. They're very unstable predictors of a relationship. They're too subjective. They're often impossible to define or calculate. In fact, conflicting emotions can lead to constant confrontations, which is essentially the history of world religions, from pagan to the more modern religions. My God is better than your God. I'll fight in the name of my God and defeat you fight in the name of your God. But they're all emotional attachments. That's why there's no resolution possible. In other cases, and this is one of the major problems, the emotional relationship fades when a person feels distance from God, distance born of tragedy or suffering or something along those lines. Now, there is an emotional aspect to our relationship. We even use those terms. Avinu, he's Mechalka Chaim Bechesed, he's Atov Ametiv. But these are grounded in intellectual attainments. The person who just feels God will always be at odds with someone else who feels God in a different way if it's not based on the Seichel. Of course, it's possible that one's recognition of God can be so sichli that it becomes dry, uninspiring, and cold, like the cult of Litvak. Yeah, it is possible. So, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that I've set God before me at all times, is ultimately an intellectual recognition that contains an emotional component once it's fully absorbed. So what's love of God? We look at love as an emotion. So Rambam says, the second parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, V'heichi Yaderech La'avaso V'Yiraso. What's the way to love God and to revere God? Yiras Hashem we'll talk about another time. How do we become lovers of God? So the Rambam says, when a person starts to contemplate God's works and His wondrous creations, notice, not about God, but about something God has done. And he sees God's wisdom, which is infinite, which is limitless. Miyatu ohev, immediately he loves. Umishabeach, umifaer, and he praises and extols. Umisavetava gadola leida Hashem agadol, and he has a great desire to know this great name, like David said in Tehillim, Tzoma nafshi lelokim lekel chai. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. That's the Rambam. There's no doubt the Rambam lends itself to a certain dryness for most people who don't fully absorb what he's saying. But Rav Kook held that there's an emotional attachment. I'm sorry, that an emotional attachment that's disconnected from any knowledge or ideas can easily be self-deception, and that leaves a person more distant from the true conception of God. So how then do we approach God? What's our relationship? So Rav Kook said, Emuna is really me'al ha-seichel. It transcends the intellect. It goes through the intellect and then transcends it. It's a firm conviction that cannot be budged or challenged. So such a person is not shaken by tragedy. So there are people, it's hard for us maybe to imagine, but it's true, I've met them. People emerge from the Holocaust, for example, with the same or greater bitachon than they had before. That's only possible if it's rooted in something deeper than feelings. So Harav writes, Aval adam ha-mamin, harei munato bruralom yushevet bidato. To the person who's a mamin, so his faith, his corpus of ideas, is clear to him. It's settled in his mind, b'sichlo, in his intellect, v'chomauto, his entire essence. Efshar b'shum ofen lazizo mideozo. It's impossible to move him from that type of awareness. That's very strong. And I should add, and this is a critical point that Rav Kook and many others made as well, if our relationship to God is left purely in the realm of philosophy, without the obligation of mitzvos or avodah that connect us to Him, then that type of emunah can also be very shallow. The indictment of Spanish Jewry, for example, read that its preoccupation with philosophy caused it to neglect mitzvos, and as a result of the fact they weren't really observant, when the time of trial came, they largely converted to Catholicism rather than suffer for their beliefs. Meaning, if the ideas are the ideas, and there's just the major differences, but you know, the maybe the basic format is the same. There's a God, there's prayer, there's a house of worship, there are holidays, etc. If it's not based in something more than that, if they're neglecting the mitzvos, then it's going to be very a very short duration. Only a minority went into exile in 1492. Most Spanish Jews stayed, and most had really converted already to Catholicism before the expulsion. So it has to be more than just ideas, more than something that's just in the Luft. So what, in fact, do we know about God? So Harav writes that there are two basic approaches to understanding God. One speaks about God, and of that we find very little in the Torah, as I mentioned. There are hints. God is not physical, lor isim kol tmuno. A person can spend, Rabbi Wein used to say this, a person can spend months learning Gemara and not come across God even one time. All right, the Daf Yomi is a month and a half into Yavamos. Very rough sailing to begin with. I don't think God has been mentioned one time. So people who will say of God that He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful, it's true, but it's in essence a child's first realization of God. The pagans speak a lot about God, spoke a lot about God. God's strengths and weaknesses, God's likes and dislikes, even God's appearance. Christians speak a lot about their conception of God, so to speak, from that perspective. What God is, His loves, what do to win His love, etc. That talk is really foreign to us. I must tell you, it's a bumper sticker that you see in Israel constantly in certain neighborhoods. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ani Me'od Ohev Otcha. God, I love you very much. It leaves me a little flat. It just sounds Christian. Jews are not trained to talk like that. We're different. To say I love God without any context, without any obligations, it's a different relationship than the one the Torah wants us to have. So we know of God through His relationship with us as a nation, as individuals. So we certainly have a mitzvah of loving God, but love of God is given a form. It's not, you can't fit it on a bumper sticker, and it can't be encapsulated in one sentence. What's our pasuk of Avas Hashem? We say it morning and night. V'ahavta eis Hashem elokecha, v'chol avavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol modecha. That you have to love God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your possession. Ma'od means that which you most crave in life. So Chazal, the Gemara, Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet, Amud Aleph, gave it a form. It's not just left to be ethereal. B'chol avavcha, Rashi says, or Gemara says here, Ma'o b'chol avavcha, b'shnei yitzarecha, b'yitzar tov, b'yitzar ra. We serve God with both inclinations. We have to use even our instinctual drives and channel them in the right direction. B'chol nafshecha, afilu notelis nafshecha. Even when God is taking your soul. Mikan amru. Chayav adam levarach al ha'ra k'shem shevarach al ha'tova. You have to bless God for what we perceive as bad, and not just what we perceive as good. Dayan ha'emes. And b'chol ma'odecha, it's b'chol mamoncha, with all your money, whatever's ma'od to you in life. So you see, it's not just a relationship that's in the clouds, but is grounded in real life, in deeds, in commitment, in self-sacrifice, in values, and in midos. And that's the essence of how we relate to God. So to that extent, God is essentially unknowable, but not as an agnostic would maintain. We know Him through His deeds. We know Him through our avoda. By way of analogy, Harav writes that there's certain things in the physical world that are very common to us, but we can't fully grasp every concept. We know how to use them, but we don't quite know how to define them. He said, for example, scientists differ as to what is light. Is light photons, waves? What is an atom? We know how to utilize these things, but to define their essence, it's very difficult. Transpose that into laws of Shabbos. I was discussing a few weeks ago on Friday night the different approaches that the Achronim took to electricity, how electricity fits into Hilchos Shabbos. You have four or five different opinions as to what the prohibition is, some d'oraisa, some d'rabbanon, because even how electricity operates, if you would just take any two physicists in B'nai Ashurin or engineers in B'nai Ashurin, they will not give you the same answer. How do I know this? I once did it. And you see, they start arguing over what it is, because there are many different ways to approach it. Rav Kook said that when the Torah speaks of Elohim, for example, it's not to His essence, but to certain ideas, like Elohim is Midas Hadin. Thus, even the names of God are not names as we understand the concept, but they're divine ideals, Darkei Hashem, like Elohim, the Shem Havaya, Shem Shakai, Shin Dalet Yud, the Shem Adnus, Alf Dal Nun Yud, Kel, Tzvakos, etc. Each of them has a different meaning. There's seven in all. Rambam talks about Hilchos HaTorah, Perek Vav. We'll talk about it more next week. So we never speak about God as much as we speak about our relationship to God. And that has been verified by a very, very long history. So it's a relationship that's based on ideals and based on values as well that are practical, that are real life, that are real world. To the Rambam, and there's no more beautiful articulation of this Then the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, it's Perek Yud in Hilchos Tshuva. V'ketzad hi avo haruya. What is the appropriate love that a person should have for God? Hu sheyevas Hashem ahava gadola yisera azo me'od. That a person should love God with a strong, powerful, potent love. Until he feels his soul is bound to love of God. He's always meditating on it. As if a person is lovesick. Think about it, that's the pasuk in Shir Shirim. I'm lovesick. What does it mean to be lovesick? You've all been lovesick at one time or another. She'ein daito penuya me'avas osa isha. Shoge bat tamid, bein b'shifto, bein mikumo, bein b'shosho ocho v'shosa. A person who's lovesick is always thinking of the object of his or her love. Constantly, when they're awake, when they're sitting, when they're working, when they're eating, when they're drinking, it's a love that is never removed. You can't put on the shelf and do something else. There's always a constant awareness of the great other in our lives. That's why the metaphor of the husband and wife is a very powerful one that Shlomo uses in Shir HaShirim. That's the closest we can understand to that relationship. That's Soma Nafshi L'Elokim. A person thirsts for God, a person's cholas ava, lovesick, meaning God is always on their mind. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Somid. And then he says at the end, near the end of Perek Yud, Davar yadua uvarur she'ein ahava sakadosh baruch hu niksheres belibo shel adam ad sheyishgebo tamid karaui. It's clear, it should be obvious, that love of God is not fully ingrained in a person's heart until he meditates on God appropriately. V'yazov koma sheba'olam chutz mimeno. And just focuses on God, on our relationship, with nothing, as if there's nothing else in the world. If a person wants to take part of his nature or her nature and shape it, improve it, mold it, at certain times even repress it and rechannel it in order to serve God, that's b'chol levavcha. It only comes if there's a powerful love. U'v'chol nafshecha, the capacity to sacrifice one's life for this non-physical entity has to be based on love as well. A person will only love God with the knowledge that he knows. And it's his very famous words, the ratio is in accordance with the amount of knowledge a person has of God, so too a person has love of God as well. If it's a little knowledge, a little love. A lot of knowledge, a lot of love. Lefichach tzar ha'odom li'achid atzmo, lahavin ulaskil b'chachmos utunos, hamodiim lo eskono. Therefore a person has to set himself aside, in order to understand and to probe the wisdoms that inform us about our Creator, kefikach sheyesh ba'adam levin lasig, in accordance with our intellectual capabilities, Rambam says, kemo shebe'arnu behilchos yisodei haTorah, as he said in the first part of the Yad. So that's love of God. According to Rambam, it's really studying philosophy and then actualizing it, carrying it out in real life. To Rav Kook, it had an even more practical dimension. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yodal, Amar Aleph, the end of the first parak. And there the Gemara asks a question. Amar B'cham B'Rabbi Chanina, May Dechsiv, Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. You should walk after God. So the Gemara says, what do you mean walk after God? God is God, we're here. V'chi efshar lo l'adam l'alach Acharei Shechina. Is it possible for a person to walk after, to follow the divine presence? How's that possible? V'alok far nemar, the Torah says, and Dvarim as well, ki Hashem Elokecha eshachlo, God is an all-consuming fire. So how do you walk with or behind an all-consuming fire? Ela, it means, lahalach achar midosov shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to walk after God's attributes. Mahu malbisharumim, afatah halbesharumim. God clothed the naked, Adam and Chava, you do the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, God visited the sick, Avram and Parshas Vayera, Afata baker cholim, you too visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, God comforted the mourners, it's in last end of last week's Sedra. Vayechrei mos Avraham, Vavarach Elokimis, Yitzchak beno. Avram died, God came to bless Yitzchak, nichem aveilim, Afata nachem aveilim, so too you man do the same thing. We relate to God by relating to His deeds, trying to follow His deeds, and of course we rely on Chazal to extract from us the Torah what exactly is that we are following. That is our bridge to God. So to know God is not to know very arcane or esoteric aspects of godliness or the divinity, but it's rather to pursue godliness. Chesed, Rachamim, Din, Emes, it's kindness or mercy or justice or truth. That's b'chol drachecha do'ehu. Know God in all of your ways. In essence, God transcends all the adjectives and the descriptions we have for Him. So Kuzri writes in the second book, chapter 2, he asks a question. Is a rock smart or stupid? What do you say? We could discuss it the whole night if you want. Is a rock smart or stupid? So the Rabbi Yehuda Levi answered, a rock is not smart or stupid. The terminology doesn't apply to it. He says that's the same thing. To say that God is good, so we may say Hakel Atov, but it's not really apposite. It's not pertinent. God is beyond good. Good is a human endeavor. We try to apply those terms to God just to have some way to think about Him, talk about Him. Dibra talk, Loshim b'nei Adam. But that's God, not God's essence. That's why we cannot just add praises of God even to our davening. What the Gemara says in Brachos, the Rambam has it in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud. We can't just say, Akel Agadol HaGibor Vanor Akel Elyon. You can't go on and add your own improv. She'ein koch b'odom lagib esov shvachov. We cannot begin to exhaust all the praise of God. The nomenclature doesn't really relate to Him, our words. Ela omer masha omer Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. So all we say in our tefillos are the praises that Moshe used, the nusach, the text that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah formulated for us. So we do not know, nor can we speculate, what was God before creation of the universe, or what is God after our world ceases to exist, if and when it does cease to exist. But God doesn't exist because we think about Him. He is Hamakom. Hu mikomo shel olam, ve'en ha'olam mikomo. God is not part of the world. The world is just part of His greater glory. So God doesn't have to fit into our world, and to think that somehow we fit God into our lives is a gross misconception about God and about our place in God's world. That idea itself, that hu mikomo shel olam, ve'en ha'olam mikomo, that idea itself should induce a little more humility when we speak of His will and His Torah and His world and our obligations in it. I thank you all very much. Next week we're going to talk about just one more shiur on God. We'll talk about the names of God in some detail. So we should know we daven what we're referring to, and the Midos Hashem as well, and then we'll move on into a juicy topic like good and evil. All right, I thank you all very much.